This podcast is brought to you by Knowledge at Wharton.
As we are closing in on the final day to file your taxes for 2017, we hear about a wide range of scams that take place. The goal is to either get your personal information, steal the funds of your tax return, or sometimes both. But there are also a variety of things that both people and companies try to pull off to avoid that hefty tax bill as well. The IRS calls them the Dirty Dozen. These are the most pressing issues that the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, is dealing with at the moment. Here to discuss some of them, as well as some of the other interesting cases going on in and around tax law, is Ian Comiskey, who is chair of the international compliance element at law firm Fox Rothschild here in Philadelphia. Ian is also an adjunct professor here at the University of Pennsylvania Law School, teaching a course on money laundering, and he is co-author of the book Tax Fraud and Evasion. And also joining us on the phone is Ann Eberhardt, who's senior director with the firm Gavin Solomonese in New York City. Ian, great seeing you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Ian, great to have you joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I guess let's start out with many of the things that are kind of highlighted during this tax season. Obviously, part of it focuses in this month-to-month period, but in a lot of the cases where these scams are concerned, these are things that are happening throughout the course of the year, 12 months a year, correct?
That's correct. Look, one that's especially bad is they're out again calling up people saying, I'm the IRS, you owe money, you're going to go to jail if you don't pay the money immediately, and here's how to pay me the money. We just had a client's daughter get caught up in that. The IRS doesn't usually call you asking for money and demanding money, or they're going to send a sheriff out. First of all, if they say it's a sheriff, that's not the IRS. And two, they're not going to call you and say they're going to arrest you if you don't pay money immediately. So if you get that kind of a call, you got to ignore it. You can phone it into the IRS that somebody's trying to take advantage of the process and take advantage of you, but don't send them money.
And I think the other part to it is the year-long element to this, that maybe people have this expectation. Some people have this expectation in this period of time, maybe January, February, and March going into April. But the fact that it is, these scams are going on throughout the course of the year.
Absolutely, yes. I've even received those kinds of calls myself.
We may have to talk offline.
Well, what are the greatest concerns that you have, Ann, in terms of all of these different types of scams that are going on out there right now?
Well, the big concern I have is what tools law enforcement might have at their disposal to prosecute them. How are these crimes being reported? What does law enforcement have available to them to find these people and to prosecute them?
Do they have enough in your opinion?
I think the answer is likely no, that they don't. For example, when I received my phone call, how was I supposed to report that? I went to the website, tried to record the number at the time that I received the call, but how does that actually turn into an investigation? I don't know the answer.
The problem, as you're probably aware, and the audience is probably aware, the IRS resources have been getting cut for years.
Yeah.
The audit rate this year, on the last set of statistics from the audit book, is down to 0.6%, 1% for corporations. And with that kind of an audit rate, and the Criminal Investigation Division had, I don't know, 3,300 agents at one point. They're down to around 2,000 agents. You can't do with that much fewer personnel the same amount of audits and the same amount of enforcement. Now, the pendulum seems to be start swinging back. This year, they're getting, I think, $300 million of additional enforcement resources, but it's going to take time. So she's right. They can't do what they used to be able to do with this much less resources where you've been being cut for 4 or 5 or 6 years in a row.
So what do you think that story tells to either the consumer or the company, the consumer that may have in past padded their deductions a little bit, or the company that has been able to move money around in a different way, having that extra funding for enforcement, what does that say to you?
They're going to increase the audit rate. and they're going to increase the number of criminal investigation agents. They're getting their first groupings now through what's called Glencoe to start the training. They have to go through, you know, formal training because they carry firearms.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a year or two. But the problems that I see, just because the audit rate is down doesn't mean that the audience can get away with it. Because what happens traditionally in my practice, there's always somebody to blow the whistle.
Yeah.
Unhappily, in the course of my career, it could be the wife. It could be the girlfriend, even though he's married. It could be an it could be an employee. It could be, you know, a disgruntled employee. It could be somebody who used to work for you. It could be somebody you just met and you started to talk to. You shouldn't have. So they can get cases in other ways. And there's a whole whistleblower provision now where you can get money by turning somebody in. And it works to a large extent.
And I think also the ability to capture and mine data for information is much greater than it's ever been in the past. And that does provide law enforcement with tools to, you know, to have a much wider reach than ever before.
But is it the expectation, though, Anna? I mean, let's focus on the idea of money laundering. I mean, that is something that has been around for quite some time. Is there an expectation that will slow down, or there will end up being kind of new paths for these people to try and skirt the tax system?
You know, there are obviously new tools criminals use all of the time, and law enforcement, you know, unfortunately finds itself in a catch-up game frequently. But, you know, the ability of law enforcement agencies to cooperate with one another cross-border has really been yielding some interesting captures in the last few years. So I think it's an interesting time.
Right. Listen, I'm as busy as I've ever been. And just in the last 2 weeks, there's an offshore reporting regime called FACTA, which I won't bore the audience with the details, but it requires foreign banks to turn over the names of U.S. citizens. And there's been stories for years that the banks are telling individuals, open an account at my bank. Don't worry, I won't turn you in. So what did the IRS do? They ran an undercover operation. And there was a set of indictments a couple weeks ago where the bankers said, we're not going to turn you in. And they all got indicted in the U.S. And some will get extradited, some won't. But they made a statement. And I think you're going to see more and more of that to prevent international, you know, get international tax enforcement and to stop money laundering. They'll do more and more of that kind of an effort. You know, around the globe. This was offshore. They did an undercover money laundering operation where everybody was located outside the United States.
But how challenging, Ann, has it been in the past for the IRS and U.S. officials to be able to find out this information with other entities, whether it be offshore or other countries over in Europe or Asia as well?
Well, I think with the banks, there's been an effort to have greater multilateral cooperation. What's more difficult is the offshore institutions, the offshore companies. There's been a lot more secrecy involved in that. And I think the interesting development there is the sort of hacktivism that's been happening. These groups that are going in and leaking documents from, you know, offshore law firms and disclosing these, making them public. So it does create a really new and interesting environment for law enforcement.
By the way, it's not a good morning when you get a call from the client and you look up the stuff that's been leaked and you see a couple names that, you know, nobody's supposed to know.
we are joined by, no kidding about that. We are joined by Ian Kaminsky of Fox Rothschild here in Philadelphia, and Eberhard of Gavin Solomonese in New York City. Your comments welcome at 844-WHARTON, 844-942-7866. Or if you'd like, send us a comment via Twitter, either at BizRadio111 or my Twitter account, which is at DanLoney21. I find it interesting, Ann, that when you have the stories of whistleblowers coming out more and more, that seemingly you would think it would be an easier path for companies to try and play it closer to what is the legal definition in terms of tax and the finances of a company. But it doesn't feel like, I mean, it feels like companies will continue to try and skirt the system at the same level, correct?
I don't know. You're seeing some pretty significant penalties being assessed against organizations. And I think the really big companies really are getting the message.
Mainly financial, or are they talking about criminal time here?
This new Justice Department has said that they are going to go after more and more individual indictments. I think that will have an effect. I think the big organizations are getting the message. You will see less of. It is likely you will see less of that. I think the more interesting question is the smaller organizations that are really the vehicles for a lot of the money laundering of true criminal proceeds.
Ryan?
And you're back to if you're not going to do it voluntarily, there have to be enough resources so there's deterrence out there, so people think they have to comply. And when you have an audit rated down at 0.6%, it's not going to be the public view. But again, it'll take a year or two. But between criminal investigation of the IRS and the increased resources at general IRS, I think you're starting to see the pendulum turn. And again, as I mentioned, this undercover operation, I think, is a signal. And before that, the banks had turned over massive numbers of names, as you know, over the last 4, 5, 6 years, which triggered billions and billions of dollars of tax penalties and indictments.
Yeah.
So you can't just assume that the bank's going to protect you, or your, quote, friend offshore is going to protect you, or somebody who doesn't know much will protect you won't blow the whistle on you.
But there is also this case that I knew you wanted to touch on of Marinello in the Supreme Court, where you have a business owner, owns a courier service, and basically was paying the employees under the table, paying them in cash, had no record keeping whatsoever, wasn't paying taxes for, 15 years, something like that, and was still pleading that he was in the right. And this is a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you could spend an hour on this. But at the Supreme Court, whatever else the guy did, and he got convicted of other tax crimes, there's one particular tax crime called obstruction, which is very, very broad. And to paraphrase what happened at the Supreme Court asked both attorneys, and the government attorney in particular, if I pay the guy who shovels the snow off my driveway, if he says I'll take less in cash and more by credit card, am I going to get indicted? And the government attorney finally said, yes, we could indict him.
Yeah.
So the court felt they had to do something. There's plenty of other tax crimes. They can get charged with evasion. You can get charged with filing a false return. If there's a predicate, you can get charged with money laundering. There's plenty of things to charge it to without charging some guy who's paying his gardener or the guy who pulls the snow out of his lawn with a 3-year felony. So the court felt they had to do something to limit it, and they did. Now, whether it'll do any good, because, of course, the Supreme Court, they put loose language in about foreseeability, and if it's foreseeable, we can charge anyway, and what all that means will take time to sort out. But they put some limit at least on this crime, but it doesn't mean all the other crimes have gone away.
Right.
I still got plenty of business.
But how frequent are these cases of obstruction coming forward?
They were becoming more frequent. They were using that as, for whatever reason, certain crimes get in vogue, and they were using that more and more and more often. And what got the practitioners really nervous was this guy indicted for obstruction in part by simply not giving information to his accountant, an omission, not a commission.
Right.
You start getting to omissions, I'll have to ask you what you did with your gardener last week.
And I don't have a gardener, so I don't have to worry about that.
How about the snow? The guy takes the snow away.
Do it myself.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay, you're good.
And
you're the only one who's good, though.
And what's been your reaction to this case?
This is a case that hasn't really been that much on my radar, but I will say it sounds like it's a win for the small guy.
844-942-7866, or if you'd like, send us a comment via Twitter, either at BizRadio111 or my Twitter account, which is at DanLoney21. So with the potential further enforcement by the government in terms of money laundering, what's your expectation that we are going to see moving forward in this realm, specifically with the IRS and the government?
Look, for instance, they've been using more and more often failing to file a foreign bank account form if you have an account that you haven't declared.
Right.
There's a couple of very well-known politicians right now. One in particular stands indicted for that. And they just brought a second indictment and sitting in Virginia based on failure to – and they're easy cases.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting with foreign accounts and you got banks offshore turning your name over or maybe turning your name over or threatening to turn your name over, those are slam dunks. And I think we're going to start seeing more and more of those cases till you start getting sufficient enforcement, because those forms still aren't getting filed and people still aren't coming to the table to report that. And that the civil penalty, hear this, the civil penalty for that is half the balance in the account per year, even if you don't get indicted.
Oh, God.
So if you got $1 million and you got 3 years, you owe them $1.5 million, even though you only got $500,000 in the account.
And what's
been
what's your expectation with this moving forward?
I tend to agree. I think that the ability of people to keep their assets hidden offshore is just diminishing and shrinking, and the IRS facing, you know, large deficits in the United States is going to be very aggressive in trying to repatriate that money.
Both for those individuals that are the high wealth individuals and the corporations as well?
Yes.
I'll give you one other piece. Look, in the old days when I started to practice, you had phone calls, and they didn't very rarely got wiretaps. Now, everybody uses emails, social media,
sure,
and
yeah,
that stuff is all available. I was working on a case yesterday that was just based on the hard documents created. There were like 5 documents, but there were 50,000 emails, and people talk. So if you have this kind of problem and you're acting in this kind of fashion, you're going to have an email somewhere. And the U.S., you know, their U.S. government is going to be able to get it. They just passed a new statute, by the way. It's going to aid them in getting emails located offshore. So it'll take time and it's cumbersome, but they'll be able to develop the case.
So the technology is really playing into the potential prosecutions that we're seeing moving forward.
Right. I tell people not to write emails, and they still write emails.
Do you see that more and more, Ann?
Yes, it's shocking what people still put in emails.
Well, then the expectation then is that even with the technology developing further and further, there will continue to be more and more prosecutions off of this, Ann.
That's definitely my expectation. But I'm not a lawyer. That's Ian's department.
Yeah.
And my group has been is as busy as it's ever been. And this regime, I think, is just starting. So if you're young, if somebody with a tax litigation experience, you may want to give me a call at the office after we get off the phone.
Well, then, what are you saying to the companies that you consult with, Ann, about all of these new iterations with the changes with the IRS and enforcement?
Well, we tell them, you know, to what any responsible consultant would tell them, you just to comply, have a rigorous compliance regime in your big organization, and if you're a small taxpayer, be sure that you consult an appropriate legal source before you become too aggressive.
Great having you both with us. Thank you, Ann, for your time today. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ian, great seeing you
again. Thank you.
Thanks
for
coming
over.
Great to have you in the studio.
For more insight from Knowledge at Wharton, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.